You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Summit is underway, and there's this huge pushback to America First. And I have to tell you that it's a bit of a head scratcher, eh? As my Canadian friends would say, eh? And here's why. So let me get this straight. The United States defends everybody. Right, Germany doesn't have a military, and we all know that you can only be a pacifist if you have somebody guaranteeing your existence, okay? Otherwise, you're a victim. So Germany, the citizens of the United States pay to defend Germany, okay? And they pay, you know, because much of the rest of Europe's defense, non-existent. Okay, so we're supposed to do that. And in addition to that, we're supposed to subsidize your economy. Because while you export into the United States with relatively few barriers, we can't get into other markets around the world. That's the system, and that works. Response? Yes. Like, okay. How about no? How about, again, I think that the president is right, you know? Look at these, you know, you look at our trade deficits with different countries and you say, wait a minute. So is this thing fair? Is this thing a reciprocal trade agreement? And the answer is God, no. The American, you know, consumer and taxpayer is propping up these governments. And now, you know, people want to push back and say, oh, you know, you're treating us like enemies. No. You know, look, we've underwritten for long enough. Can't we just get to a more equitable position for the American worker? Because our middle class is going away. So I find it an interesting discussion. You know, oh, America is doing this or doing that. It's like, look, at some point, don't you think there should be some reconciliation of these differences? Or should America just constantly underwrite all these different bad agreements? Because the playing field isn't level. And when you get into bilateral agreements, you get into leveling the playing field. And so I don't, you know, like the president does and says crazy stuff, but I think relative to trade and equitable trade, I think he's spot on, you know, and I will tell you this, bit players like France and Germany, and I'm so anti-German, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I'm anti-German. I've been watching that with somewhat, I just curiosity, like, am I stupid? Do I not understand? And I, you know, I'm fairly well read. I have a degree in economics. I understand how shit works. But I don't understand this. I don't understand how you run these gigantic. I don't understand the reason behind running gigantic trade deficits forever, and never reconciling that, never getting access. Can you imagine if we halved all of our trade? Look, we don't want to wipe it out. We know that would be, we would rock your economy too much. But how about we do this? How about we just cut it in half? How about we do that? How about we cut it in half? Can you imagine if we did that with every country? How many hundreds of billions of dollars that would be? I mean, last month, our durable goods with China in the first quarter of calendar year 2018 set a record at $131 billion, I want to say for the quarter. Yeah, that's a lot of billions. Okay, for those of you who aren't keen in math, take it from me. I will, that's a lot of billions. Okay, so got that going for you this morning. So I'm watching that. I think everybody's eyes, next week focus on the big summit. We'll see if that's going to be, if that's going to be legit. And again, I still this morning, you know, somebody needs to punch Rudy Giuliani in his fat face. Yeah, Rudy, back away from the hors d'oeuvre tray, by the way, okay? You're like, you need to be on weight control. I'm not trying to body shame him or anything like that, but good God. Anywho, yeah. Can you imagine, suppose that you're a confidant of the President of the United States, and, you know, as Rudy must be, and so you're talking to him, and, you know, as you're sitting around talking, conversation about the Mueller thing kind of dials down, and you look at him and say, like, wow, well done on the North Korean thing, man. And he says, yeah, you know, he got on his knees, he was begging. So now you go out and you leave the White House. Is that something that you put out? No, unless you're an idiot. So, I mean, what is, why would Rudy Giuliani, like, say shit like that? You know, extremely delicate dance that the United States does with North Korea. And now you're going to contribute to it by saying, yeah, the guy got on his knees and begged. As somebody who's in place, that you would be known as a confidant of the president. I mean, what kind of stupid son of a bitch is that? Well, the answer to that would be he'd be an Italian stupid son of a bitch. Okay? And they come in all colors, creeds, and whatever, genders, choices, identifications these days. But it's, you know, you just look at it as like, what an idiot. What an absolute positive idiot. You know, and again, I lumped him in with, you know, with John Bolton. Unfootnoted comments were in a deal that ultimately leads to the guy who made the deal being drugged in, through the street, who's dead bodies. Yeah, that's supposedly that's the whole basis for Putin doing what he's done. Because he was deeply affected, you know, as Russia was ingratiating itself to the West. He saw what happened to he saw what happened to Gaddafi. Oh, Mac, you're so cynical. Why? So that would push. Okay, who do you think's believed to be one of the wealthiest men in the world? And where did he get that money? In your spare time, Google Vladimir Putin's personal wealth. You'll see some pretty interesting articles in some pretty well-known publications. Is he the world's richest man? Well, wait a minute. He's been a public servant his whole life. Is he the president or prime minister? I don't know which one. I never get those ones straight, which is more important than the other one. So he's the head of Russia. How much does that pay a year? Right? Come on. It's a former communist country. It can't pay that much. How did he get all these billions? Estimated as the richest man in the world. Yeah. So anyway, so maybe to protect that wealth, I'm not going out by my feet on TV. Come on. I've seen what other people that were in the dictator business, what's happened to them. It hasn't been good. I've watched my boy Saddam get his head popped off on video. That didn't go. I'm not going out like that. I watched my boy Muammar got drugged out of a pipe, got drugged through the street, put him on TV. Come on. I mean, I like pictures of, you know, Putin likes pictures of himself without a shirt on, but not like that. Yeah. The macho man. So, yeah. Anyway. Tell you what we're going to do today. Sad day for, I'm sure the chef will be sad, but CNN's Anthony Bourdain was found after he hung himself in Paris. So sad day. So we'll talk to the chef. Will join us here as we get going and after we check the news, and then we'll I don't know. I haven't heard from the Gunner. Yeah, I didn't hear from him yesterday. I called him a couple times, and I got no response. And so I don't know where the Gunner is. He's UA. So I don't know if he will be with us today. I've called him this morning. No answer. So I don't know. So congratulations to the Stanley Cup champion. Washington Capitals, awesome game last night. Everything that people love about hockey, which is speed, a little bit of violence, a little bit of fighting, and incredible skill and passion. Yeah. So won the Stanley Cup last night. So one step closer to summer. I think the basketball game on tonight? If it is, probably going to see the last game of the season because the Cleveland Cavaliers cannot play with the Golden State Warriors. Golden State's got too many options. Got too many options. So I don't know if they play tonight. Interesting. Six o'clock tonight, Pacific time. Golden State Warriors are up 3-0 in the series. Then we're done with winter sports, and next up is the World Series. That's right. That's right. So, anyway, so that happened last night. I'm a hockey fan, so I enjoyed that. And congratulations to TJ Oshie. I watched him play high school hockey, watched him play college hockey. He's a great player. And interestingly enough, he spent his early years in Seattle. I think he was living with his mom. Then he went to live with his dad, who lived in War Road, Minnesota, which is right on the Canadian-American border. But he grew up playing roller hockey, so he had some crazy moves that he perfected. He grew up practicing, and so his skill on display, certainly in the playoffs, and now we'll have his name on the Stanley Cup. I think that's the coolest part of the Stanley Cup, is you get your name on it, right? Yeah, that's pretty cool. Makes it unique, and makes it personal. It's the best of all the ceremonies. It is, without a doubt, it's the one that the others try to emulate. That trophy, kids, make replicas of it when they play in the street. And the team that wins gets to quote-unquote hoist the Stanley Cup. The captain grabs it and puts it, lifts it with both arms over his head. And that is the signature, move after you win. And you get your name on the cup. And then, for those of you who don't know, you get to take the cup for a day. Yeah. So everybody on the team gets it for a day, and they do all kinds of different stuff with it. They have, community parties where they grew up. They take it to different places they want. They take family photos. Babies get put into the cup itself. Goes to weddings, all kinds of different stuff. So it has a tremendous history. So if you're a hockey fan, last night, pretty cool. All right. Good morning, Mac. Happy Friday. Where is the Gunner? Yeah, I don't know. He's UA. So at some point, hopefully, we will catch up with him. But I don't know where he's at. Anyway, the United States Marine Corps Band will make it official on Monday. But Whitney Houston, as she does on Friday, God rest her soul, sings the national anthem for us this morning. So good morning to you.
Ooh.
yesterday we talked about a gunnery sergeant and who took his gas mask off during the Battle of Belleau Wood. And it's if you haven't ever read about the story, hold on, I've forgotten his name. I know, that sucks, Mac. Mac, you suck. Yeah, I know. I apologize. The his name is Fred W. Stockman. And in his Medal of Honor citation, which I'll read to you here, he removes his gas mask during a an artillery barrage. They're medevacking casualties. Mustard gas has filled the air around them. And here's his Medal of Honor citation. During an intense enemy bombardment with high explosives and gas shells, which wounded or killed many members of the company, Gunnery Sergeant Stockham, upon noticing that the gas mask of a wounded comrade had been shot off his face, without hesitation removed his own gas mask and insisted upon giving it to the wounded Marine, well knowing that the effects of the gas would be fatal to himself. He continued with undaunted courage and valor to direct and assist in the evacuation of the wounded until he himself collapsed from the effect of the gas, dying as a result thereof a few days later. This is dedicated to him. I don't know, there's not that many people that walk the planet that would do something that selfless. So I happened upon that last weekend. This is dedicated to him.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's awesome. Can you imagine were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Check the weather in Marineland. Currently, mostly cloudy and 73 in Quantico. Mostly sunny and 81 at Camp Lejeune. Mostly cloudy and 83 in Granbury, Texas. Up in Montana, it's sunny and 63. 29 Palms, sunny and 72. Camp Pendleton, cooled off. Clouds and 56, last report. Okinawa, dark, cloudy and 83, so Okinawa's warming up with a weather warning. The Helmand Valley of Afghanistan and Marja, about smack dab in the middle of it. It's 105 degrees late in the day. Currently, mostly cloudy and 60 degrees here in Southern California. Sun in 83. Mac, how far do you live from the coast? I don't know. As the crow flies, let me take a look at that. I should know that, but I don't. I would estimate that I live 1, 2. I would estimate that I live somewhere between 3 and 4 miles from the coast. Now, I could be wrong. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines on a Friday. Don't touch the dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Mac, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. I wanted my cake and eat it too. I wanted it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. And it was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of Bruce Lee abuse ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam.
7:32 on a Friday. We'll check the news headlines. You know, I hope this doesn't make me a bad person, but I there's a story out and nationally about a security officer for the Senate Intelligence Committee who's being charged with leaking. And evidently, this guy had a relationship with the New York Times reporter. Blah, 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 blah. So I like that. I like that. I think that you ought, the whole, murky world of politics that seems to have no moral compass, these people aren't political people. These people are supposedly there as part of the infrastructure that makes our government work. If you want to be a political person, then run for political office. If you're a security person and you're leaking stuff out of closed sessions and shit like that, that's, you know, I hope. And again, what we do is we constantly, you know, he's a good guy and everything mitigates everything. Do a little message sending to these people. You're going to go to jail. Sorry. You know, really sorry, but your ass is going to jail because you're not supposed to do that. You take in an oath, you sign documents. The, you know what? Quit sending me stuff about my kids and the IDs, okay? Because it gives them a big head. That's all I'm going to tell you. Okay? So everybody knock it off. My kids don't need... I have to give them the beat down so they don't get too much confidence as human beings. It's part of my parental responsibility. Right? And, so, yeah. This little gem right here, took about 78 takes, just so you know.
Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I have one from the old days of Mac Talk with Catherine. She's a little kid. This little gem, if Catherine's took 50 takes, Colleen's took 150.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Yeah, that was like an incredible amount of editing. Okay, say your name. Just so you know, let's keep it real, okay? And then I will tell you what, the other fan favorite is this little gem right here.
God bless America.
Okay, that's Colleen at the age of 6, okay? Now, let me get to the part that is the fan favorite, okay? At the end of the song, okay? She says she was done, right? So what does she say? What do you say when you're six? Done, Dad. Okay. This became its own cult classic.
Home, God bless America, my home, sweet home. Done, Dad.
I'm friends with them.
That little gem right there. That's right. We would be someplace, and somebody would recognize me, and they'd see Colleen, and they'd come up and they'd look at her, and they'd say, and Colleen's like 6'7", like that. She's like, I love the way you sing. Colleen would say, thank you. After I'd kick her, boom, thank you. And, but yeah, so I decided to leave that in there. And it is pretty cute. Speaking of cute, there's a video of a little kid that caught an Aaron Judge home run in batting practice in Toronto. And then he's at the game sitting in right center field with his mom and his dad, and it looks like his grandmother, who's not looking like she's having very much fun. But if you have a chance, watch it. Just do a search on Judge Kid Toronto home run, and you'll find it, because it's Aaron Judge. So Judge, J-U-D-G-E, Kid Toronto home run. This kid, he has a sign that says, all rise, right? Because that's Aaron Judge. I don't know. They've tagged it as the judge, right? So all rise when he gets up to hit. So he's got this sign that he made that says all rise across the top. He's made this gavel. He's drawn this gravel. And on the bottom it says Judge 99. This kid, throughout the game goes 13 innings. He stands up and holds this. And so the Yankees, I guess somehow or other had caught his reaction to when he catches this ball and he looks to see who hits it. He didn't catch it. He gets it. It hits near him, right, rattles around. He picks it up. And then he looks to see who hits it. Well, Aaron Judge hit it, right? And he looks at his dad and he says, Judge hit this, right? And he's like, whoa! Obviously, Aaron Judge fan, right? So the whole game, he'd stand up and he'd have this sign that he holds over his head. And this thing goes 13 innings. Aaron Judge hits a two-run home run in the top of the 13th to put the Yankees ahead 2-0. And this kid, the smile that he gets on his face, right? He high-fives his dad probably a couple times. And then he's doing this kind of fist pump thing. And it is the magic of sports and the magic of the people that you look up to. And it is an absolute priceless little piece of video. If you've ever seen it. So anyway, but let's dial down the offspring replacement shit. Okay. All right. News headlines. Yeah, leakers. I don't like leakers, man. I think that you, when you go behind closed doors to talk about sensitive issues, I don't think the security guy should be funneling that information to his former girlfriend, who's a New York Times reporter, which calls into question, you know, her. So do you sleep with a security dude so you can have a source? Yikes. That's kind of yucky, right? So I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just saying. So I hope they throw the book, and I hope they find other leakers, and I hope they throw the book at them, right? Because, you know, the job of governing is difficult enough, but when you can't go into a closed session and know what you're going to say in the closed session is going to be kept in the closed session, then I think you go into the closed session and you don't say what you think. So anyway. Stories, Marine Corps Times, headline, War Widow Stops Using My Husband's Photo for Political Memes. Sienna Archenga, whose husband was killed in Afghanistan, Sergeant First Class Offren, Arechanga, Arrechanga. There's a picture of her. There's a picture of her at his casket. The casket's open. He's laying there, and it's shot from the top of the casket, and she has her hand on his hand as they're crossed at his waist with his white gloves on. And evidently it's being used as part of the debate why we stand or whatnot for the national anthem. And she's put out a message saying that please stop using my husband's image for whatever your point is. Next story. So, enough said, right? So stop doing it. NATO trumpets resolve over Russia, plays down divisions. Picture of Secretary Mattis. Secretary Mattis, he's like the Pied Piper around all these other guys, right? If you look at pictures, he's in the center, right? And he's kind of like a smarter version of John Wayne, right? Charismatic guy. And for whatever reason, you know, wherever he goes, they love him. And there's a picture of him at this NATO event, standing in the middle of a series of generals and defense ministers. And it's like, and they're all looking at him. And he's obviously said something funny, but they're laughing and they're looking at him. But you can see the difference. NATO defense ministers met Thursday in a fresh show of resolve against Russia and played down a series of festering transatlantic disputes that threatened to undermine unity across the 29-nation military alliance. I have this to say about the G7 and NATO. Hey, look, if you can't air your grievances, if you can't air your grievances in alliances and whether they be the G7 or NATO, then what the hell good are they? You know, what are we bobbleheads? That's bullshit. But Mattis, man, you see him in the middle of these people, and I'll tell you what, and if you watch the Shangri-La dialogue thing, the Shangri-La dialogue, I don't really like the name. Honestly, it's kind of like weird. Shangri-La? Isn't that like some kind of happy place? I don't know. We get happy meals and we go sit on a picnic bench and we go like we're happy. The Shangri-La dialogues are Pacific Rim defense discussions. It just sounds weird, you know. Anyway, but let me tell you, if you have not listened to that, put that on your list of things to do. We did it yesterday or the day before maybe. But it's the Q&A and it's Mattis at his finest. Yeah. The stupid Chinese colonel that asks him to tease up a question that allows him to lecture about China's coercive use of their economy, their belligerence with their allies, them loaning money on the Belt and Road Initiative that they will certainly foreclose on, and then you'll never get rid of their dumbasses. Right? And Mattis does that in a very, very eloquent and very delicate way. Not completely delicate, because that is his style. Kind of, sort of delicate, but with a little touch of a sledgehammer every now and then. All right. At a meeting in Brussels, the ministers unveiled a new plan to reinforce their presence in any European crisis with deployment of 30 troop battalions, 30 squadrons of aircraft, and 30 warships within 30 days. Details of the plan drawn up by the U.S. to be in place by 2020 remain sketchy. It's called, I don't know this for a fact, but I think we'll call this the 30 plan. How about that? Because, see, Mattis likes this kind of shit, right? No better friend, no worse enemy. First, do no harm. Brilliance in the basics. He's got all these advertising slogans, okay, because he's a smart guy, and he knows how people keep stuff, right? Things go better with Coke. Be all you can be. Right? We remember shit like that. Right? Do you remember where you put your car keys? Don't have a clue. But what's the Army slogan? Be all you can be. Now, I think it might be an army of one, which is really stupid. But I don't want to get into Army bashing. But you know me. I'll do it at any time of the day. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and Army bash. But I love the Army. But an army of one? Like, one team, one fight, baby. Yeah. So he, the Secretary of Defense, he believes in these little slogans that chunk information. So you have this very pregnant piece of information, and you just, for instance, guardian angels. The concept of the guardian angel, right, we know from reading the Bible, right, is somebody who looks over you. In that were all these steps that units had to take. Every time you stopped, you had to have guardian angels because of the threat of some kind of suicide bomb in Iraq. All right, Iraq a little, Afghanistan a little bit different. You still have to provide for you, but they did not practice the security, the suicide bomber. So, all these things. So, the 30 plan. Whoa. 30 troop battalions. Okay, so that's 10 regiments. That's 10 regiments, of which we'll supply 8 of them. 30 squadrons of aircraft, right? That's, 10 groups, of which we'll supply 8 of those. No, we'll probably only supply 5 of those. Because, you know, you have people like the Dutch. They've got airplanes. They got, like, F-18s and shit like that. I'm not sure if they're F-18s, but, you know, they flew in Afghanistan. They check on station. You hear their talk. One of my buddies does this great impression of the Brits checking on station. It's hilarious. And he's a little bit of an odd duck because he would, like, bust this out in, like, the middle of the day. He also thought me being on the radio was really funny, too. And he, for whatever reason, he has this thing in his head that you say when you're on the radio. And it's, and we're back! And so, like, nothing would be going on, and, like, out of the silence of this room, he would yell out of nowhere, and we're back! And, like, you turn around, like, are you okay? Are you off your meds? Like, what the hell is going on? And he'd also, like, out of, like, in the middle of nothing, he'd do this aircraft checking in. Right? So you'd notice foreign voices when aircrafts, you know, the air officer would have his radio on. And you'd hear it. This is, you know, Viper 26 checking in with a flight of F-18s. We're hanging Mark whatever bombs. We've got X bombs with X amount of fuel, with X amount of station time. Plan is to go back and tank once, tank twice, and then we'll be back to wherever they came from. Aircraft carrier or some other place. So anyway, So things that would catch your attention, a foreign voice like the Dutch, right, or the Brits, or a female voice. And then somebody would talk, while the female voice was going, because there wasn't very, very many females around, everybody would get quiet and listen. And then all of a sudden some idiot would start talking, and I would say, hey, silence. No male voices while the female voice is coming over the radio. And guys would look at me and go, Major Mac he's got his shit so together. Cause see, they would think it, but they would never say that. I would be like, shut up, man. I don't want to hear a male voice right now. What is she flying? What is she carrying? How long is she here? Couldn't tell you, man. All I was focusing on was on the voice. I know it's a superficial existence, but it's the only one I have. Quote, we have decided further steps to strengthen our shared security and boost defense and deterrence against threats from many directions, NATO Secretary Jens Stoltenberg told reporters. He said the two commands will help, quote, ensure that we have the right forces in the right place at the right time. Official staffing levels of more than 2,200 personnel for new commands covering the Atlantic Ocean, based in Norfolk, Virginia, and Ulm, Germany, handling logistics during any conflict on mainland Europe. Yeah, message sending to the Ruskies. Hey, we're going to get our shit there in a hurry. So, know that, bro. Know that. So, NATO. And again, that comes, all this reexamination of NATO comes out of the 2016 presidential campaign when Donald Trump, you know, threw their shit in the street. And now we're fixing it. And I say the same thing in the G7. A. Merkel, Andrea, Angela, Angela. I think her name is Angela. Because Will Cosentini told me that. And he's a smart guy. He's a Naval Academy guy. So anyway, Will tells her, Angela. So Angela Merkel, who doesn't have a military and still considers herself a leader. Anyway, the leader of the German economy, because they don't have a military, she's like, Europe needs to band together in this new world order. Like, no, that's not what we're saying. We're still cool. But can we fix some of this trade shit so the American taxpayer doesn't continue to subsidize, as we did in post-World War II world, you into the future? Can we just get some of this shit right and make it fair? Give us access? Is that asking too much? Or is the status quo that the citizens of the United States, the taxpayers, have to continue to foot the bill, not only for your defense, but we also have to subsidize your economy? Yes, that's what we would prefer. Get the hell out of here, man. Get the hell out of here. Syrian Kurdish leader. No Turkish or allied forces in Manbij. Manbij is a city in northern Syria that is a flashpoint between American-supported Syrian Kurds who fought with us and ejected ISIS from the region, and Turkey, a NATO partner, who says the Kurds are terrorists. No Turkish troops or allied Syrian fighters will deploy inside the strategic Syrian town of Manbij following a Turkish-U.S. deal that is expected to see the local U.S.-backed Kurdish militia pull out of the area, the head of the local military council said on Thursday. The comments by the head of the Manjib military council, who goes by the name of Mohammed Abu Adel. When I hear the name Mohammed, Mohammed, Mike, Oscar, Hotel, I've heard that a million times, came following his meeting with the U.S. delegation to the town that included the commander of U.S.-backed anti-Islamic State coalition, Major General James Gerard, and veteran Middle East diplomat William Roebuck. That's big shit, man. That means we're serious about solving the issue with Turkey. Yeah, so if we get our shit right, I don't know if you can get your shit right with Turkey. Turkey's got to figure out what it wants to be. Do you want to hang with the Russians? Huh? Do you? Do you really? Is that what you want? Yeah. That's that Mel Gibson scene, right? Do you really want to do you really want to die? He goes up there on the ledge. Right? And he handcuffs the dude who's going to jump off the ledge. The guy's going, can't leave me alone. He's a crying guy. He wants to jump off the ledge, right? He goes, I want to kill myself. He goes, do you really? Do you really want to die? And then they jump off. It's an awesome scene, by the way. Mel Gibson, there's a couple of post-combat related mental health scenes in there. That's one of them where it kind of goes cuckoo. And then he's a Vietnam guy, right? Come on. We know about the Vietnam guys. So just, yeah, memo to all you Vietnam dudes, we're on to you, okay? So anyway, but they're fun to party with. You give Vietnam dudes a little bit of booze, it's a good party. So, anywho, yeah, the other one is where, I think is it the very start of the movie? It's a scene in a Christmas tree lot where he gonna go buy cocaine from these dealers, right? And they're fronting this Christmas tree lot. So he goes up and they say, okay, and they want 30 grand for the cocaine or whatever they're selling, heroin, whatever. And so they say, hey, we agreed the price was 30. And Mel Gibson says, yeah. And with that, he starts counting out $30. And he's like, hey, man, what is this? What's going on? And Mel Gibson then, He pulls out his pistol, pulls out his badge. Why am I describing this? I should just play it. Mel Gibson. Lethal Weapon. Christmas Tree. These are two great scenes. All right. It's a Coke deal. That's what this says. Okay, so it's a Coke deal, and here it is. All right, he's sniffing the cocaine right now.
Hey.
Actually, he didn't sniff it. He ate it. I guess when you're a cop, you learn how to eat cocaine and what it tastes like. And so they're sitting around the table, two dudes. There's another dude in the truck, but you don't know he's there.
Tasty? Smooth?
Yeah, that's good. You better
Here's
fucking
beer, believe it.
Thanks. Okay, so let's do it, huh?
Okay, guy brings him a beer.
How much? How much for how much?
For all of it.
Yeah, so this is the deal.
You want it all?
Yep.
He wants it
he
all.
He wants it all. Beautiful.
All right, congratulations.
Maybe a nice six-footer to put it under, huh?
You want a tree?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I'll give you the best tree I got in the lot for nothing.
Hey, thanks.
But the shit's going to cost you, $100.
What, that much?
Hey, you said you liked it. That's a fair price.
Yeah. Yeah, hell, you only live once.
Yeah.
Get this together here. 20, 40, 70, 95,
hey, what's
up?
Hey, man.
95, 90.
Hey.
Come on, shut up, man. I'm losing count. 93, 94, 95, 96.
Okay, now what's going to happen is they're going to get in a gunfight, and then Gibson, if you've never seen the movie, somebody gets him, comes up from behind, gets him in like a headlock or whatever, and has a pistol to his head. And then other cops roll in, and then he goes post-combat Vietnam mental health on him. So it's actually pretty interesting.
Get it, you dumb shit! $100,000! Did you hear what he said?
$100,000? I'm sorry, I can't afford that, not on my salary. But look, I'll tell you what, I got a better idea. Here. Now, let me say I take the whole stash off your hands for free. You assholes can go to jail.
Hey,
what do you
whoa,
say about that?
Just pulled his badge out, right, and laid it on the table.
I can read you guys your rights, but nah, you guys already know what your rights are, don't you?
This badge ain't real. You ain't real.
Oh, you sure are a crazy son of a bitch.
You think I'm crazy?
Yeah.
You calling me crazy? You think I'm crazy? Yeah. Hey, you want to see crazy? I'll show you.
Okay, he just does the, like, Three Stooges curly slapping himself in the face. Remember that move? He just does that. Just pulled his .45.
Now, that's a real badge. I'm a real cop, and this is a real fucking gun.
It's actually a 9mm.
Okay, pal. Hey, nose is in the dirt, asshole.
Okay, shotgun blast from inside the truck that's behind him. Gibson ducks, hits one of the dudes. Three shots into a Christmas tree, dude falls out. Dude number three is dead.
Where's your buddy?
Cops rolling up.
What do you got, Rick? There's three down, there's one loose in here. He's got black hair in the red shirt. Okay, let's go. I'm coming left side.
Here it comes. Grabs him by the head. Got him in a headlock. Revolver under the, as you're looking at him, the left side of his neck underneath the ear.
Give me a gun! How's that feel, sucker?
Okay, this is where he goes Vietnam veteran on him.
Hey, shoot him! Drop it, prick! Hey, shoot him!
What?
Shoot him! Shoot him!
Shut the fuck up!
Somebody shoot this prick!
Freeze!
Shoot him!
Dad!
Shoot him!
Dad!
Shoot him! Somebody shoot this prick!
Mel Gibson's awesome. His eyes are bugging out of his head. The veins are bulging out of his neck. And he's screaming, shoot this prick.
Shoot him. Stop! Shoot him. Stop! 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 Stop
Shut the fuck up!
Shoot me!
Shut up!
Shoot me!
Shut up!
Shoot me!
Just grabbed him. Just grabbed the pistol, headbutted him. Now he's got him by the throat.
Get him out of there.
He's got the pistol underneath his chin, and he's like snarling.
Chris!
Now he's hyperventilating. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay? A little bit of post-combat related mental health. Okay, the other one is suicide jump. This is him on top of the building. Okay? This is another awesome scene. They're the two best scenes of like the whole Lethal Weapon series, in my opinion. These are the two best scenes. Okay, so picture this. San Francisco, beautiful, beautiful scenery. All right. And it shows him on top of the building. He'd been down below. He said, hey, I'm going up there. Danny Glover are partners for the first day. Right? Dude's on top of the tree. Fire department's on station, blowing up the big cushion in case a guy jumps. Mel Gibson wearing cowboy boots and jeans, looking cool.
Who are you?
Riggs, homicide.
Yes, sir. He's right over there in the air.
Cooler than shit, walking across the roof of the building. Dude looks like kind of a weenie stockbroker type. You know what I'm talking about, right? Probably like 5'6", 5'7", swanky suit on, perfect hair, shit like that. Doesn't have a callus. There's not a callus on his body. Looks terrified.
Merry Christmas.
God, leave me alone! Please leave me alone! Leave me alone!
Why are you doing this?
None of your goddamn business!
Fair enough. Look, I'm just going to come out there, okay?
Oh. No, you touch me, I'm gonna
jump! This is actually pretty funny, okay? I don't know who wrote this, but this is funny.
Take it easy!
You know, you're not the first guy to think of this, you know. A lot of people have got problems, especially during the silly season like now. You know shit!
No, you're wrong, pal. You're wrong.
You don't know nothing! Don't touch me!
Take it easy.
Look, I didn't do anything wrong!
I know that. It's not like you're murdering anyone or anything.
That's right.
You're
hurting me!
Same way I look
me.
At you. That's right. I know you're hurting. I get it. Okay, now, come on.
But don't come near me!
Come on, give me a break, will you, guy? My boss is down there, and he's watching me.
Is that hilarious? give me a break. My boss is down there watching.
You gotta make it look at least like I'm trying to save you, okay? Hey, come on. I'm just gonna stand here and talk to you. That's all.
Okay, I'm gonna warn you. This is where it goes to Vietnam again.
You won't try nothing?
No, I'm square with you. I won't try a thing. I won't try a damn thing. You think I want to fall off? I promise, I'll just talk to you.
Okay, all right.
Here, you want a cigarette? Come on, let's talk, okay?
Yeah.
Come on, take it. Yeah. We take our time and both die of cancer.
Okay, now he just, while he was going to light the guy's cigarette, he just handcuffed him.
What are you doing?
See this key? Bye-bye.
Just tosses the key off the building.
I'm crazy!
Now you can jump if you want to, but you'll be taking me with you, and that makes you a murderer. Okay? Come on, let's go
you
back.
You bastard!
Yeah, you'll be killing a cop. That's
yeah,
fine,
I'll be so. Killing a psycho nut cop!
Yeah, a psycho, but I'm still a cop. You coming in? Come on, I'm going in.
Fuck you! I'm jumping!
Do you really want to jump? Do you?
This is where it goes. And let me just tell you, the look he gets in his eyes.
You wanna? Well, then that's fine with me. Come on. Let's do it.
What do you mean?
And with that, they jump.
trying to kill me. You'll see that he's out of his mind. He's crazy. He's trying to kill me. He's out. Oh, my God.
Hey, those are my cops. I want to check.
Now, there's a great scene after that. I won't play it now. I'll write it down. Maybe I'll play it later if the gunner doesn't show up. But there's a great scene after that where Danny Glover, he's a Vietnam War veteran. He's a Vietnam veteran as well. And Glover gets pissed at him. It's like, what are you doing? He's like, you got a death wish, don't you? And then Gibson looks at him and says, maybe I do. And Glover takes his pistol out, and I want to say he puts it under his chin. He said, you want to blow your brains out? He said, go ahead. And they had this extremely tense moment. It's awesome. But it's, again, Lethal Weapon built around post-combat-related mental health. And pretty interesting, isn't it? Yeah, I think it is. Anyway, all right, we'll do take a break. The chef's going to join us. I'm sure the chef's not. I'm sure the chef's sad today because Anthony Bourdain, who's one of his favorites, was found, his body was found after he evidently took his own life in France while he was there working on some stuff for CNN. So we'll talk to the chef about that. We'll continue with the Friday edition of All Marine Radio. Vietnam vets, man, they're a crazy group. But we love them, man. There are crazies. There are tribal crazies. And you know what? They deserve a special place. You want to know why? Because nobody got treated like they got treated. So they can be themselves, no questions asked. Right? Because the country treated them like garbage. Anyway, we love them, though. And they're crazy. And we love that about them, too. More of All Marine Radio coming up on a Friday on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Mac. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.